Spot on. Good to be here. Veskus, eh? Lekker. So I would love to do a little tally, see who speaks English and Afrikaans in this place. So, wie praat Afrikaans?
Yeah.
Ivan? Okay. And wie praat Engels? No, man, you got to choose one. Closer, anybody? No, not yet. No, man, it's lekker to be with you guys. I married Juanita over there, and her parents actually live in Jacobsbaai. So we've been married for 10 years. So for like 11, 12 years, we've been driving up this Veskus regularly to come and visit the in-laws. And I didn't like the Veskus in the beginning. It's dry, it's windy, it's like stinks of fish. But I've learned to love it, you know. There's something special about it. There's something, I don't know what it is. There is, you do learn to love it. And I'm sure you guys live here, so you've also learned to love it. People, yeah, they call them soot van die aarde, you know, like there's good people. I'm really excited for this area and what God's going to do here. Seriously, I think Langebaan, this, you know, after some of the times we come here, the one time we were sitting at the mall, I think it was before we came to be on worship and Josie had to go get something. I was just sitting in the parking lot of the mall looking out my car and I just saw all these people, all the lost, like different colors, different types, different classes. I was like, God, like you want to reach these people. There's so many of them here. And so be expectant. Like seriously, that's why we're still here. That's why God hasn't wrapped up this party and raptured us, is because he still wants people to get saved, like seriously. So that is why you're here, that's why I'm here, because he saved me, like praise Jesus, and I'll tell you a little bit about how that happened. So the title of my sermon, Devoted to Fellowship, you can check up that first slide there. There we go. Brian, all kinds of things happening there. And this kind of preach started bubbling in my heart when I found my old journal from when I just got saved. It's this very basic A4 kind of black lined, you know, those black books, those hardback. And I was just started reading through some of a lot of dreams. I used to have a lot of dreams, and I was struggling through a lot of stuff as a just getting saved. Out of a life of kind of drugs and all kinds of stuff. And so there were a lot of challenges and struggles and things I would, you know, be praying for. But inevitably, it would always go like, struggling with this. And then last night, some guys gathered around me and they prayed for me. Someone had this word for me. And then it continues. And then the next thing comes along. And then it's like, we had a time of worship at so-and-so's house. And we were praying for each other and this happened. And I realized my journey was marked with fellowship, like all the way through. And if it wasn't for that fellowship, like I probably wouldn't be here, seriously. And even when we got married, we've gone through challenges. And, you know, like if it wasn't for people around us, I seriously don't think we would have made it. Actually, I'm convinced of it. Like, seriously, this is the main thing. God is all about community. Even the Trinity, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they were in perfect community before they created. Like, he's all about community. Community, fellowship is what it's all about. And so I got saved into Josh Jen in, it was 2005. So it's quite a long, I feel like part of the furniture now. And at that stage, we had one church, one congregation. And we would meet in the morning and the evening. And it was in Sunningdale. We had just gotten that building, and we were still finishing building it. So you would come, and there wouldn't be carpet, and you know they were still plastering. And I got involved with some of the gardening. I was very proud of it because we built this little hill, and then they smashed it and put more parking. But anyway, that's unforgiveness I'm still dealing with. Spend a whole day with a spade, you know. But that's when I joined, and I was saved into this. And that's, can put up that scripture. Acts 2:42-47. I'm sure you've heard this before. If you in Josh, and you haven't heard this, then may this be the first of many, because in a sense, this is our mantra. This is like, this is the slogan. This is what we're all about. And before I read this, let me just give you a little bit of context, okay? Because this happens after Pentecost, okay? And Pentecost was when the Holy Spirit came. And so the believers were together in Jerusalem, and they were waiting, because Jesus said, wait, pray, wait for me, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. They're like, okay, they're obedient, they're waiting, and they're praying. And then the Holy Spirit falls, and something crazy happens, and it overflows out onto the streets, and people are like, what is going on? There must have been a shift in the atmosphere. There were tongues of fire on people's heads. Like, can you imagine that? Can you imagine our little prayer meeting outside, then all of a sudden, like, there was sound of a rushing wind. And then, like, it was nuts. It was crazy. It was really, there was a spiritual atmosphere which had never been seen before. Probably in the times of Israel and Moses and seeing the pillar of fire in the desert, you know. There's something of that. And it was even symbolic of the old. And this came on every single believer that was waiting and praying upstairs. And then this flooded out into the streets, and there's thousands of people flocking because what is going on? Something's happening. And then some of them tease them and say, no, they're drunk, they've been drinking too much. And old Peter explains to them, like, no, listen, it's still in the morning, we haven't been drinking, this is what's happening. And explains to them the prophecies of old, and this is what Jesus promised, and this is what happened, and basically tells them the gospel. And then they say to Jesus, like, okay, like, what must we do? And then he says to them, you need to be saved. You need to repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it's just after that that this is what happens. And that day, it says that 3,000 were added to their number. So all of a sudden, the church, which was maybe 100, boom, 3,100. What did those 3,100 Spirit-filled Christians do? This. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now keep that up there. Look at that scripture. I'm going to ask you guys to do a little interaction here. What are some of the fruits of this devotion? What do you guys see there? Anybody? Signs and wonders, fantastic. Anybody else? They were together, great. Anyone else? Yes. Awe, they were filled with awe, yes. I see your hand. Anyone else? Generosity, yes. Yes. They were added, the lost came, yes. Food. Yes, hallelujah. Okay, so these are some of the fruits. You want to go to that next slide? I listed the ones that I saw. They were filled with awe, okay? There were signs and wonders, miracles, fellowship, friendship, family. There were no needy. Can you imagine that? No needy in the church. Like, no one's need. Needs are being met. Glad and sincere hearts. Like, how amazing it is when your heart's just glad and sincere. Like, I mean, that alone, you know, the peace of the Lord, like, that alone is just an incredible fruit. The Lord's favor was with them. And it says that the favor was with when that man speaks about even outside. And there's a scripture in the Bible, one of the Proverbs says, I think I might have it later on, but they had favor both with God and with man. There's a favor that even as you go out into the workplace, like, there's a favor and there's promotion maybe, and there's, you know, praise and worship. They were together. They were worshiping God. That's an incredible gift to be able to praise and worship God. It's not a, you know, sometimes it feels like a bit of work, but it is actually, like, it's an amazing blessing. And then the lost were being saved and added. So what is devotion? So I wanted to list those fruits because this is the joy set before us. Like that lady prayed in the prayer meeting. She's, Jesus had the joy set before him when he went to the cross. This is the joy set before us as we devote ourselves to these things. Like this is the fruit. Let's expect this, you know. If this doesn't happen, like then we're doing something wrong. I'll almost say, like this is God's heart for the church, is for this stuff to happen. And we see it. We're seeing it in Josh Chen. Like, thank you, Jesus, that he's added us to like a healthy church, because we are seeing this. So that's the joy set before us. That's what we're aiming for. That's what we aim for. So what is devotion? Okay. Just talking about the rugby. We all called to devote ourselves to something. Like, whether you like it or not. If you don't give yourself to the kingdom and seeking that first, you're going to be seeking something else. And I'm sure we've all got stories of, you know, before. We had a guy this morning. Oh, man, what a beautiful testimony. They actually took a team to Zim, okay? And he's an average Joe. He just got saved. He's been with us maybe for a year. Very into sports, rugby. He's a Zim guy, and he's strong. And he's very good at any sports, basically. And he could probably go pro with a lot of those sports. But then he always gets these injuries. It's almost like God always just like, ah. And then he's got the shoulder. And he went on this Zim trip, and he came back. And this morning he gave his testimony, and he just said, like, this is my purpose. This is what I've been called for. I now know that I need to devote myself to this. And what a beautiful testimony. We're all going to devote ourselves to something. You can go to the next slide. So way back I did a preach, and then I went deep into the word studies. Anyway, I've just thrown it up there. Proskartereo. It's like a original kind of Greek word. But it does mean, when we say devote, all I want you to know is it's not devote and then I move on and do something else. It's a continuous, steadfast, daily, it's continue devoting yourself. So we need to, the Bible says you work out your salvation daily with fear and trembling. Yes, we're saved by grace and not by works. But when we get saved, then every day you need to work out your salvation. This is like in the Old Testament, you know, and Jesus once again repeats that this is the most important commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Okay? So it's just important to know that this is what we're here for. This is what we're devoting ourselves. This is why. We're loving God and we're loving people. It's actually very, very simple. So that's what devotion is. How do we do it? How do we devote ourselves? So I've just got five points I think I'm going to work through there. How do we devote ourselves? Hey, you want to go to the first one? It starts with you, okay? They devoted who? Others know themselves. Like, I can't devote you, okay? I can't devote my wife. It's just not how it works. It starts with you individually. Every single person, you've got to wake up. And you got to devote yourself. That's the only way it works. And it's the same with salvation. Like, God reaches out and he gives us his hand. But if we don't grab a hold of it with all the strength that we have and say, please save me, Jesus. I often think of salvation as us sinking in an ocean. And then this life ring gets thrown out by Jesus. And what do you do? Then just say, yeah, Jesus, thank you for saving. No, you grab onto it and you hold on for dear life. Okay? Don't let go. Don't look around at the storm. You're just like, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. So you have to do that. You've got to hold on. You've got to devote yourself. Okay, does that make sense? It's pretty straightforward. David strengthened himself in the Lord. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It's a crazy time when David, and he's got this kind of men that follow him, and they actually get raided, and their women and their children get taken. And all their belongings, and they come back, and this is what they find. And then the people are like angry with him, and everyone's like, dude, what have you done? We're going to kill you. And in this context, David goes away, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David went away and he found that strength. And then he came out and then they actually had an incredible victory as he said, no, we're going to go and get them. Okay, we need to know how to do that. Okay, next one. The apostles' teaching. Okay? So the reason I'm going through these is because in order to have good fellowship, you can't get there without first going here. You know? There's almost like an order to that, what they devoted themselves to. And the apostles' teaching, what is the apostles' teaching? Who are the apostles? Okay? Am I an apostle? No. Is Andrew an apostle? Andrew Selly? Yes, he does carry, we acknowledge him as an apostle. But we start here. These are the official apostles, okay? This is where we start. So the apostles' teaching is not necessarily going to the 412 app and just listening to the preachers that they post there, even though that's great. I do that. That's good. But this, like if you don't start here, this is the apostles' teaching. You devote yourself to this and you see the truths. And then the apostles, the guys with the apostolic grace, like the Andrew Sellies, even Mike Dofer that was here a few weeks ago, those guys help us to break open these truths. So yes, we devote ourselves to them as well. When there's a gathering and they're bringing in some apostolic gift, we devote it to that. We go to that. We don't miss those things. Even if whatever it costs us. I've heard of people giving up all exclusive paid trip to the Maldives, like freebie they gave up to be at a gathering or a conference or something. That's how devoted they are. It was a test. It was like obviously a test because it's like, hey, here's this all expenses paid trip to the Maldives for you and your family. What? That's amazing. These are the dates. Oops. So we really do devote ourselves. I encourage you guys to, you might seem like you're a little bit out of that radar of the gatherings or the equip times, but I'd say, no, we devoted to this thing. So we're going to go, whatever the cost. Come and stay over at our house. We've got lots of space. You don't have to drive at night. Okay. But your Bible, man, this is that book of mine, it started with me just studying the Bible. That's how God started speaking to me. He's through the Bible. And I would just read. I would just read. Just start reading read the Gospels and study it. Devote, when you devote yourself to it, you like make notes and underline and try and figure it out. If you don't understand it, you ask someone or you search it online. You know, you really, when you devote yourself to it, you're going to find incredible truth. This book is amazing. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's Jesus. The Bible says the Word became flesh. This is like, if you want to get to know Jesus, this is Him. That, and to give you a little tip, there's many ways you can read your Bible. Okay, I can read my Bible because I got to come preach on a Sunday, and then I can read my Bible because I want a word for someone else. No, the way I read my Bible, and now this is just my general quiet times, is I find Jesus. I look for Jesus. I read the Old Testament. Oh man, I'm so stoked. You're reading Job, and then eventually, Job says, "Oh, if only there was a mediator that could mediate between me and God to understand." I'm like, Jesus, yes, He's there. That's the mediator. And then this is the book. He's all over this book, beginning to end. Find Jesus, and that's how you read the Bible. That's how it comes alive to you because it is Jesus. Okay, does that make sense? Let's move on to the next one. Now, fellowship. Okay, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were together, they had everything in common. What does that mean? We all come from such different vibes, like we're just so different, Some of us surf, some of us braai, some of us, ride mountain bike. Like how do we have everything in common? I think it's because when we devoted to this, then the Jesus becomes the common factor. He becomes the thing that knits us all together. And that is enough for us to actually have everything in common. In a way, He is everything. And there's nothing wrong with having these hobbies, but, somehow we can relate because we know Jesus. We often laugh, like in our context, like some of the people that come into our homes, and we're like, we don't understand. There's a lot of the young guys now, because when I tell people when I'm born now, I sometimes get the response, I wasn't even born yet. And I'm like, okay, that's crazy. So not when I was born, but when I got saved or stuff like that, you know, they're like, wow, I wasn't even born yet. I'm like, wow, okay. So the one, we had a family in our home the other night, and they were talking about their mom, and the mom, yeah, no, she's old, like 40. I was like, I'm older than that, so like you could be my son. But yet we have Jesus, and we can relate. And it's wonderful. Let me encourage you, connecting with different types of people and ages is very refreshing. You can easily lose, if you're just hanging out with your generation and your type, you actually lose out. Like there's something in community with connecting with the younger guys, and all of a sudden you realize, even that night I used an example of, because the girl does some fighting or something, and she was saying about her, she wraps her hands, and then I made a joke like, oh, do you do the glue and dip it in glass, you know, like kickboxer, and they just looked at me with blank faces, and I said, like, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and they still just, and then Josie's like, nah, you. I don't know if anybody else here remembers that. But, you know, it was like one of those classic moves, but it's lost. So then we realize, okay, no, there's, we need to connect in a different way. So it's super refreshing. And this is in the homes, eh? This is fellowship, really doesn't happen here, okay? That's why we do community on a Wednesday night. So on Wednesday night, you guys do come. That's why we kind of instituted a one-week get-together officially. Is not because it's a Sunday and it's no. The Wednesday is there to encourage getting into the homes. It starts the process of getting guys into your homes. It's easier when you know that Wednesdays is in the homes. But even that, it's got to be more than that. You know, guys have got to be doing stuff together and brying, and you know, seriously, you need to cultivate that. And Wednesday is great, and Wednesday's there too. That's why we do community. So, yeah, I'm always scared when guys make community too meeting-ish, because it's not supposed to be another meeting. It's supposed to be this thing that just is a catalyst for fellowship, for getting into each other's homes. So I'd encourage you to, you know, I think there's new communities that need to get planted here. And not because, oh, we don't have enough comms, the comms are too big. No, it's guys need to go to Mike and say, you know what, I need to open my home and get some people in there. Can't I start a community? And then maybe you get one or two people. Maybe the first few weeks it's just you. But in faith, you're like, I want to start cultivating this culture of having people in my home. I think that needs to happen here. So if that's you and you feel a stirring in your heart, man, approach Mike and say, hey, Mike, I want to do that. I want to open my home. Maybe you live in a tiny little flat somewhere. That doesn't matter. We see that happen all the time. I lived in a small little flat, and we had community there. And every time we had community, I would just be thinking, like, oh, the neighbors, like, surely they can hear this. Like, we guys are jumping up and down, beating drums, like, oh, Lord. But I just pushed through that. And funny enough, no one ever complained. And, you know, it was fine. And I've seen that in other people's comms in the car. I can see the guy stressing. I'm like, I know why you're stressing, bro. Because, you know, Cape Town flats, guys want their own quiet, and there's rules, and there's, you know, and when guys really start worshiping, it's like the whole area knows. We had the one worship night at our house. I'll never forget it. We lived in a little street in Woodstock, and Merv was actually there that night, but he came along, and we had this, it was our worship teams got together. And we were worshiping God, and there was this moment where we were just screaming. I was just in his presence. It was this powerful lion roaring kind of worship. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that, but there was something was happening. It was incredible. And then the next day, we had like a neighbor across the road, three houses down. And he came, and he's like, what happened here last night? Fortunately, he was a Christian, but he was like, dude, like we heard it in our house. I'm like, yo, bro, you should have seen this one happen. So we need to go for it, you know, and people will see. They, you know how the lost often come to Jesus? It's our love one for another that brings them, okay, that leads us to repentance. It's the love one for another. When they see that, they'll know that there's something different about these people. What do you guys have? So let's move on to the next one. Breaking of bread. Okay, this sometimes it's like a bit of a mystery. We're going to break bread today, actually. And I'll often see guys, I don't know if you, but I'm often like that. I'm like, okay, is it now? Is it the bread now? Is it the wine now? Do I still wait? Okay, do we first have to pray? Do we have to do you know, what's the order? Do you guys get that? And you're like, and then someone's eating the bread. And I'm like, hey, bro, wait, we're not there yet. The guys have finished praying. Like, seriously, that's not what it's about. Why do we break bread? To remember Jesus. Okay? We break bread because we thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Eat the bread, drink the little juice, get it over with. Don't be too spiritual about it. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I think we can miss the moment because we get so spiritual and this is the body and Jesus, whatever. You know, it's like, no, that's not what it's about. We do it because we want to say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Boom. And he says, do it. In fact, he says, do it daily to his disciples. Why does he say that? Because every day we've got to say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And it's in community. You can do it on your own, but it's like, it's a bit random. You can. But most of the time, it's in this context of sharing a meal together. It's done within fellowship, in community. So when we get together, we need to somehow, and you don't have to do this all the time, but if we're just fellowshipping all the time and we miss the moments of going, oh, thank you, Jesus, together, I think we miss out on, like I was telling you about my journal and those times. And those nights were often just having a meal, but then we're like, yes, hey, guys, can't you pray for me? I'm struggling with this. Okay, yeah, let's pray for you. And guys would gather around. Like, if we don't do that, I think we miss out on actually God wants to work in us. So when we have these braais, have the braai, eat the food, but then look for a moment of like, yo, hey guys, I feel like we must just thank Jesus. Can you guys want to break bread quickly? We always keep those little juices, little grape, you know, like the kiddies, what do they call them? They call them juice boxes. We always keep a 6-pack of juice boxes in the spins and some crackers. Or there's often bread or something around for those moments. Like, hey guys, I feel like we should just break bread. Break bread. We just remember Jesus. We thank him. And that can often, once you just break through, it can lead to something of like, hey, man, how are you guys doing? Like, actually, we've really been struggling. Oh, let's pray for you. You know, words of encouragement, some prophetic words. Like, these are the things that are going to carry us through to the end of our race, to run a good race. And they're going to be the things that add, you know, the lost will be added to us. That's breaking of bread. And then the final one is prayer. And this is like my favorite scripture about prayer is Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This scripture alone has saved me from being like an anxious person. I would probably be like quite an anxious person, I think, if it wasn't for this scripture. I wrote a song I sing to myself in times. Josie probably knows when I'm going through stress because I'm sitting at the piano going, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything pray to the Lord. Because I believe this, it does something, man. People struggle with anxiety. You say, hey, well, good news. There's a remedy. It's not a pull. It's this. Don't be anxious. Pray. Give him thanks. Tell him what you need. And then the peace of God comes. And it does. It really does. It really does. And that's just the one little part of prayer. There's so much more to prayer. But especially in terms of fellowship, when you pray for each other, God often speaks. Words often come. And those are the things that also, once again, like I said, that early journal of mine was all about praying together. And someone had a little word. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Hold on to that word and write it down and keep on with the journey. So let me end. That's me. Let me end with this, and I'm going to pray for us. Is there another slide? Okay. Now this is, I told you the whole context, and this is the scripture before this 2:42 comes. It's, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Let me pray for us. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. I just really